Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is 10:03 here in New Zealand. It's a good deal earlier where we're going now, and that, of course, is to Australia, where we're going to catch up with Max Rushton. Now, Max is a very interesting man, and he's been around the media for a long, long period of time. Just reading about him, he actually turned out a job on Blue Peter. Blue Peter is one of the most, viewed programs in British television, to host the Sky Sports show Soccer AM. And that is, he made the right choice here because football has taken him around the world, basically commentating on radio and as part of a television host as well. It's been an absolutely brilliant career to this point. We're lucky to have him. He's currently with Stan Sport in Australia, and if my information tells me correctly, he's just been calling a game of football as well in the Europa League. So we say a good, very good morning to Max, and welcome on to our show.
This is really nice. Well, how nice to hear my CV. I mean, look, I'm getting away with it. Let's be clear about this. You know, that's the best you can do at this level. And what happened was I made this terrible mistake, Ian, of marrying an Australian. And she told me that her ovaries would only work in the Southern Hemisphere. And so it's sort of a bit like the plug hole situation, right? So I was like, okay, well, because we were in London together having a lovely life. And I was like, well, look, if I can get a job in Australia, well, we'll go. Mm. But obviously there was no way I could get a job in Australia. And I accidentally got one. And this is where I end up. So you find me now at Qantas Domestic Gate 8 as I board the 8:30 back to Melbourne, which is my new home after covering the Europa League this morning on Stan Sport from the Channel 9 studios in Sydney. And may I say, it is a pleasure to speak to you because obviously you have your CV is better than mine. We don't need to just mutually backslap each other for the whole call, but by the barest of margins, commentary doesn't get better than that, my friend. Absolutely wonderful.
Thank you very much, Max. I appreciate that. Hey, look,
so you're too humble, aren't you? You're too humble to take this. That's, I can feel it.
Max, can we talk? Let's talk about the EPL for a second, can we? Just
okay.
Because I'm absolutely fascinated, and I'll declare my level of interest here. I am Spurs. All right, Spurs. But really, we don't need to talk about them, except the possibility a little bit of Europe action coming their way. But I'm looking at this table now. Man City, 32 from 73. Arsenal, 32 games, 71 points. Liverpool, 32, 71, the same. I'm looking at their run-ins, and I still can't make up my mind how this is going to go. It's intriguing.
It's been a brilliant title race, and last weekend felt really pivotal in a way because just Manchester City, people sort of tend to feel that Manchester City haven't sort of really hit their straps. Yeah, and we'll talk about their Champions League exit to Real Madrid, I'm sure. But they won last Saturday. They beat Luton. Everyone would expect them to do that. They beat them 5-1. Luton actually played okay in that without wanting to patronise them. And then it went to the Sunday and Liverpool were home to Crystal Palace. Arsenal were home to Aston Villa. And Villa are a good side. They just got to the last English team reigning in Europe actually now. But everyone thought, like, these guys will win and will be as you were. But for Manchester City, it was an amazing day because Liverpool lost at home to Crystal Palace and Palace played very well in that game. And Unai Emery, who used to manage Arsenal, did a job on them at the Emirates. And Arsenal looked knackered. The last couple of weeks, they've looked knackered. Liverpool have had a terrible week. They drew with Man United. They lost to Atalanta. They lost to Palace. They've gone out of Europe today. They won in Bergamo, but they are out. Mm. And so it's fascinating. The thing is, you just sort of feel a vulnerability about Liverpool and Arsenal that you don't feel with Manchester City. They just have that, you know, they obviously have the best manager in Pep Guardiola. Their squad is incredibly deep. They've got great quality. But they've been there before. You know, you will know better than I do how much that matters, right? the Arsenal squad has got a couple of guys that have won the Champions League in Jorginho and Havertz, but last season the same thing happened. They were really pushing. In fact, they had the lead and then they let it slip late on last season. And I don't know psychologically how much that affects them. Liverpool, of course, Jurgen Klopp is leaving. Like, there's the word narrative is overused in sport. I'm sure you use it every day on the show, right? It's impossible to get away from it, but there's narrative everywhere in with these three sides. I think everyone thinks Manchester City will win it. You'd be foolish to write the other two off. It's such a long season. It's such a competitive league. But they're running. City's running looks okay. They've got to go to Tottenham. They'd have a great record there. But, you know, as a Spurs fan, you will know that you'd never use Tottenham as a card to play because, you know, they could fold at any time, right? So it is totally intriguing. It's brilliantly set up. And what we dream is that for the last day of the season, you need three televisions or three screens of varying sizes, you know, big TV, tablet, phone, just all in a line, and you have to watch it all because it is hopefully going to go right to the wire.
I love it. I absolutely love that concept of everyone starting at the same time on the last day. So Arsenal are away to Wolves this weekend, Liverpool away to Fulham. Man City actually are not EPL this weekend. FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea, which will take a bit out of them as well. And that will mean they'll have a game in hand. So Arsenal and Liverpool winners this weekend?
I think Wolves are a really tough place to go, actually. Gary O'Neill's done a brilliant job managing them against expectations. He came in pretty late just before the season. No one thought they'd do very well at all. They've beaten City at home already. I think they've beaten Spurs at home already. So, like, that's not an easy game. Arsenal obviously had that really disappointing night in Munich on Wednesday, so and they look pretty tired. Fulham, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Sometimes they are absolutely brilliant. Sometimes they're absolutely hopeless. Liverpool didn't look good today. Like, they won in Atalanta, but they did not look good. And they were going very direct in the second half. They looked sort of lacking energy, lacking ideas. Mo Salah, their best player, is just slightly off it. I mean, you'd expect Arsenal and Liverpool to both win. But who knows? As for Man City, right, the FA Cup semi-final, they were going for a double treble. They're now out of the Champions League. So that perhaps adds a bit of, you know, extra importance to the semi-final against Chelsea. They've drawn twice with Chelsea this season. There was a 4-4 at Stamford Bridge, which was brilliant. The storyline for this is Cole Palmer, who Man City sold to Chelsea. And he's been absolutely brilliant this season. Like, he has got so much, you know, so much self-belief. You know, it's that kind of weird, that fine line between confidence and arrogance. But he is proving it on the pitch. And Chelsea have been a bin fire this season. I mean, they have been absolutely garbage, completely ridiculous. You've no idea what you're going to get. But look, they could beat City in that semi-final. That would be a really exciting game too.
Bottom end of the table always intrigues me because there's so much at stake in terms of finances as much as anything else. But here we're looking at a club like Everton who are right in the thick of everything. They're appealing the points deduction for breaking the rules. At this stage, they're 32 and 27 points. Forest have played one more, 33-26. Luton, 33-25. This battle in the run-in is just as intriguing for me.
Yeah, and Nottingham Forest play Everton in this, I think it's a Goodison, isn't it? In the sort of financial fair play appeals derby, where they both had points deducted, they're both appealing. At this stage, it seems ludicrous. We're not entirely sure if those appeals are going to be heard and finished before the season ends. So you might have a team celebrating staying up and then someone over the tannoy going, actually, we've just deducted you one more point, so bad luck, guys. I mean, it's a slightly ludicrous situation. Look, I'm no expert. I didn't get into this to focus on accountants and amortization of contracts and financial fair. You know, like I kind of understand it because you have to, as soon as you get into this game, you have to start learning about lots of things you didn't expect to learn about. But hopefully those appeals will all be done. I think Forest are a more interesting football team. I think they're more exciting going forward. They've got real, like, exciting attackers in like Hudson-Odoi, Anthony Elanga, and Morgan Gibbs-White as well. And Chris Wood, your guy, you know, leading the line, right? He's actually done brilliantly this season, Chris Wood. He's got quite an underrated centre-forward. Everton, look, without the points deduction, Everton would be fine, right? So you have to look at that. But their form recently has been terrible. They got done 6-0 by Chelsea on Monday night. But that is a very tense game. Luton are perhaps the sort of, it's hard not to patronise Luton, but they have been brilliant this season, right? Their budget is tiny compared to the rest of the Premier League. They've got a brilliant manager in Rob Edwards. They have got so many injury problems. I think they've got 7 centre-backs at the club. None of them are fit. And yet they've pushed some really big sides this season. You know, they've pushed, I think, Liverpool equalised really late. Arsenal got a very late winner. They pushed Spurs a couple of times. Like, they are punching above their weight, Luton. And if they manage to stay in the Premier League, it will be an absolutely extraordinary achievement. They play Brentford, who are, you know, probably safe, might be on the beach. Does that mean they're liberated and freed up, or they don't care? One of the two. But I think all evidence would suggest that Luton will eventually not quite have enough. And they've got so many injuries, and that's a real problem. But the fact they're even contesting it, you know, and the teams below them, Sheffield United and Bournemouth aren't really, but they Burnley, they play each other. And Burnley, you know, either the side that doesn't win that is you know, down pretty much. But I think everybody is really hoping that Luton manages, because what they have done this season and the fight they've shown and the, you know, they've really learned how to play in the Premier League. I think they lost their first four and people might be thinking maybe they won't get any points at all. And they've confounded expectations and have been a real sort of breath of fresh air, you know. So I think everybody, all the neutrals certainly, hoping that Luton survive.
Not a good time in Europe for UK sides. Two eliminated this morning, Liverpool and West Ham out of the Europa competition. But also the other day, both Manchester City have gone, of course, and Arsenal have gone. Bayern, Real Madrid, Dortmund, PSG. So there's a certain flair of German football about the semi-finals.
Yeah, and I don't know if Kiwis generally think that, you know, the English have an arrogance when it comes to sport. I think that is possibly true. And so sometimes it's probably quite good for us to get a bit of a kicking. And that's what's happened this week, right? There's a real feeling. I mean, certainly back home, you know, the Premier League is the best league in the world. It has the most money. It has the greatest concentration of talent. But this week has proved that isn't everything, right? Of course, Real Madrid are a huge side, right? So Man City-Real Madrid is a fascinating contest. They've played each other the last 3 years in the Champions League. 3 years ago, Real Madrid beat City, but no one knows how. Last year, Man City annihilated Real Madrid in the second leg. This year, City had all the ball, they had all the pressure, they had all the possession. But Real Madrid, it's funny, for a really big side who normally have all the ball, they don't mind suffering. And they suffered and they were out on their feet. You know, Jude Bellingham could barely stand up. Danny Carvajal, basically, someone switched him off, like in extra time. But they got it to penalties and they won the shootout. And, you know, it was an absolutely stunning performance from them to get through. Arsenal against Bayern. Arsenal looked really tired. Bayern Munich have not had a great season in the Bundesliga. They've won it 11 years in a row, but not this year. Bayer Leverkusen have won the league already. So this is their chance. This is their only chance for silverware. Harry Kane, of course, you know, famously never won a trophy at Spurs. He's gone to Bayern Munich and I thought, oh, well, at least you'll win the Bundesliga, and they haven't. But he is now through to the semi-final. And a shout for Eric Dier as well, who, I'd say, Ange Postecoglou kind of throws him out, just wasn't interested in him. He's a different type of player, wasn't quick enough for Ange's style at Tottenham. He's gone to Bayern Munich. He's now starting for them ahead of some really high-profile defenders in Upamecano and Kim as well. And so, wonderful moment for him. You know, he was the man of the match against Arsenal. And I think he's now got to more or as many semi-finals in the Champions League as Arsenal have. So Spurs fans living vicariously through Harry Kane and Eric Dier now.
So in terms of Stan Sport and their coverage of football on behalf of Australians...
It's absolutely brilliant. You have no idea. Game changer.
It would be second to none, Max. I understand it's second to none. To what extent do they cover football in Australia? Is it EPL, European football?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like a lot of countries, you know, the rights are split amongst different rights holders. So we have all the European football. We have the Champions League, the Europa League, the Europa Conference League. And, you know, I do it with Craig Foster, you know, should really be the Prime Minister of Australia, greatest man on earth. And I do it with Mark Bosnich, who doesn't need a microphone, right? Because his energy is, you can probably hear him in Auckland, right? From the studio, they're two great men. They've become great friends of mine. And I'm really lucky to... I've just got to buzz my boarding pass in. Wait 1 second. When I get to the thing, I might have to disappear for 1 second as we board this flight.
Yeah.
I've got a real good set of contacts from Europe that I do through the Guardian Football Weekly podcast. And so I get the European experts on. So when all the games are happening, you know, Fenerbahce have scored against Olympiacos, I've got a guy who knows that, because there's not enough time in the day for me to be watching the Turkish league. You know, I've got a child to raise. We're really blessed with the coverage that we have, and I think we get the balance right between taking the thing seriously that needs to be taken seriously and just enjoying the football, right? Because that's what sport is about, right? It's about enjoying it.
What do they serve in business class on the breakfast on the 8:30 to Melbourne?
I'd be lucky. You know, normally I get a I might get a bit of banana bread, and I'll just have a glass of water, because if you get up at 3 in the morning, I've had a lot of coffees already, and I can't have too many.
Max, you're obviously about to step on that plane, so I thank you very much for your time. It's been brilliant catching up with you, and we'd love to speak again in the future. Now that we've made contact, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Anytime, pal. Thanks, mate.